Well, this morning I want to begin a new series titled Sowing Seeds Today for Tomorrow's Harvest. Sowing Seeds Today for Tomorrow's Harvest. I received a text message from somebody in the church family this past week, and she shared with me a story that was very moving about just something that happened through someone's life. And then she said this at the end. She says, you know, I feel like God wants me to be more active in church, but I just don't know how to do it. You know, I think that's the request, the desire of each of our hearts. We want to be more active and be more effective and fruitful, but we just don't know how to do it. This series, I think, will answer that question. Because it's all about your life as an individual and how you walk day to day. And it's all about sowing seeds into other people's lives and even your own life, that there can result a harvest for tomorrow. It's who we are in Christ. And I hope that my prayer is during the remainder today and in the next four Sundays, you'll catch a new glimpse of how you can be used by God to make a difference in your family's life, as well as where you work and in your community. Now, when you talk about sowing seeds, I've got a couple pictures that I'm going to refer to throughout this series. Here's the first one. For some people, this is what their harvest will look like. It's not a good harvest field, is it? But you know what the issue is? The issue is the kind of seeds that are being sown on a daily basis that will result in a certain kind of harvest. And for some people, this is what their harvest will look like. Now, here's the other picture. This is a picture of an abundant harvest. This is a snapshot of what can be in your life and mine for your own personal journey, as well as in your marriage, with your family, where you work, your life in general. So it all comes back to what kind of seeds are we sowing to make a difference? Here's a definition of a seed, and it's real simple. It's this. A seed is something capable of growing, expanding, or developing into another of its kind. A seed has potential inside it. I've got a bowl here with some grass seed. It's rye seed, and the seeds are very small. You know, if you seed grass or you seed anything, it just starts very small. And there's potential in each of these seeds. There's potential to grow, to expand, and to develop into something of its kind. And so when you think of sowing seed, hey, it comes in different shapes and sizes. Here's a plant, a real simple one. Came from the house. It's not very tall, but it begins very small. And I want you to catch an insight and glimpse into the potential of a seed that you and I can sow every day of our life in different areas. Now, here's a picture of the progression of a seed. And it's very basic, but it starts very small, just one little piece. With water and sunshine, it develops roots, and then the top part grows. And before you know it, you have something of size that can make a difference and an impact in your world. That's the seeds that you and I can sow together. So here's what I want to do. Today and the next four Sundays, I'm going to take one word. One word which kind of contains the definition of a category we sow seeds in. And each Sunday we'll have one word that we'll build around. And the five words are listed in your sermon listening guide. I'll just give them to you up front. The first one, and we'll talk about today, is praying. You sow seeds when you pray. We're going to talk about that today. Secondly, giving. When you give, you sow seeds for a better tomorrow. Thirdly, encouraging. Hey, when you take time to plant words of affirmation into other people's lives, you are sowing seeds and it'll produce a harvest. Number four, serving. When you take your time, your gifts, your abilities to serve other people, I tell you what, you are setting yourself up for a harvest down the road. And finally, number five, storytelling. I love this one. When you share your story of your faith, like the boy with the five loaves and two fish, you know, he gave his lunch and it fed all those thousands of people. He had a story to tell for the rest of his life. You see, storytelling is a seed sowing business. These five areas, five simple words, praying, giving, encouraging, serving, storytelling, those are the basics of life that when you and I sow seeds in those categories, can I tell you, you're going to have a great harvest in the future because we're going to talk about this relationship between sowing and reaping. So what I want to do as part of the introduction today is this. I want to talk about three truths about seed sowing and reaping. They're pretty basic, but it's good to lay a foundation. Number one in your notes. Everybody is a seed sower. Everybody here is a seed sower. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 8, 5. In the King James, it's in your notes. This is an amazing story that says each of us here today has the capacity, the privilege, the responsibility to sow seeds. Everybody's a seed sower. Read with me in your notes, Luke 8, 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed. I mean, the very first part of the story, the sower went out. Put your name in there. You went out. Do you realize when you got up this morning, maybe, I don't know what time you got up, 3 hours ago, from the very time you got up, you started sowing seeds, and you didn't even know it. You know what you sowed? You sowed seeds into your own thought life. If you read the Word of God, you were sowing into it. You sowed seeds in your prayer time. You sow seeds with your family, your husband, your wife, or the family in your household. How you treated them, how you greeted them. Were you smiling and affirming? Or we can be grumpy and kind of, well, I got to get going in the morning. We sow seeds all the time. And so everybody here is a seed sower. Number two, the second truth is this. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul has a principle that he shares in Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Let's read that together. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let me give you an example. If you know anybody that is consistently disrespectful as they journey through life, you bump into them, you work with them, you see them now and then. I mean, they just kind of have a disrespectful demeanor. You know what happens? They're sowing seeds. And a person that is consistently disrespectful over time, they're going to end up with a barren harvest of people because that's the kind of seed that they're sowing. On the other hand, if you get up and you make an intentional choice to sow kindness into the people around you, I mean, it takes some work sometimes where we're not always totally lovable and always in the best mood, but when you are intentionally kind to other people, you are sowing seed for a future harvest. You know why? You reap what you sow. It comes back to you. A person who is a friend to other people, I mean, who takes the first step, who reaches out, who affirms the stranger, who goes after others, you know what they're going to reap in the end? They're going to have a bucket full of friends in their life because they're sowing seeds of care and compassion. So the principle here is you reap what you sow. If you and I sow seeds that are destructive, that are disrespectful, that are unkind, are these habits, these daily droppings of life, we will reap that. And the same is true if we do it through the Spirit of God, which is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. So there's different kinds of seeds, but we'll always reap what we sow. Number three. The third truth is this. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap in proportion. Read with me 2 Corinthians 9:6 in your notes. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, we've heard that phrase before. It's a principle of life. The principle is this. You and I will get back in proportion to what we put in. It's just how life works. Now, I want you to understand these five areas: praying, giving, encouraging, serving, storytelling. You and I will get back in proportion to what we invest. Here's a picture I want you to look at. This is a picture of an abundant harvest. I mean, there's something satisfying about looking at a farmer in a field when the combine, the bin is full, and they're unloading it, and it's just overflowing. Well, you and I will reap in proportion to what we sow. Now, here's the deal. We do this every day and don't even realize it. We do it in these five areas, and the more seeds we sow that are the seeds that will honor God and we understand how we can make a difference in life, can I tell you, your harvest, your future will look like this. And God is calling us as a people to be intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. You kind of have to work at it. You got to stay on point. You got to focus. You got to say, God, I want my life to add value to other people. I want it to count. I want it to make a difference. I want my marriage better. I want my relationship with my kids better. I want my relationship with my parents, on and on. And we will reap in relation and in proportion to how generous or how stingy or sparingly we do so. But understand, in the big picture, this is what God wants your life to look like in each of these five areas. So three simple truths about sowing and reaping. Everybody here is a seed sower. Number two, you and I reap what we sow. Number three, we reap in proportion to what we sow. So today we're talking about category number one. The word is praying. Praying. You may not have thought about this before, but you realize your prayer life is a seed sowing experience. And we reap what we sow. Not only that, we reap it in proportion. So when you pray, I want you to get a new vision of what prayer can do for you. They are tiny capsules. They are containers of power. There's potency in them. There's capacity. There's capacity and capability to grow, expand, and to develop into another of its kind. And it all starts with a simple seed. So I want to share four thoughts about how sowing seeds in prayer can reap a harvest. And what is it we should pray for? And so I want to challenge your thinking this morning that when you get up and you have your prayer time in the morning or during the day or at night, it's a seed sowing opportunity to reap a harvest in the future. But God says, hey, you got to sow it first in order to reap it. So four things. Number one, the first thing that when you think about prayer that we can pray for is this. We need to have prayers for the salvation of others. We need to pray for the salvation of other people. Now, everybody here has done that. You've prayed for other people to come in faith in Christ. But I want you to understand that when you come before the throne of grace, you are sowing a seed in prayer for God to take it, to bless it, and to bring other people to faith. Here's what Peter says, 2 Peter 3:9. Let's read it together. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Prayer number one, praying for the salvation of other people. It's a seed-sowing opportunity before God. I want to share a couple stories, three actually, about what prayer can do. The first is from Jim Cimbala in the 1990s. His oldest daughter, Chrissy, was far from God and had been for 2.5 years. In his book, Fresh Fire, he tells the story of what happened. She was rebellious. She just left. She went her own way. He's the pastor of a church, the Tabernacle in New York City area, but the Brooklyn Tabernacle. But his daughter was far from God. It's a Tuesday night. It's in February. It's cold out. And the people were gathering for a prayer meeting. He spoke out of Acts chapter 4 about boldly calling on God in the face of persecution. And then everybody was joining together in prayer. He had somebody from his congregation come up to him and slip him a note. And here's what it said. The young woman felt that it would be good that we pray for his daughter, Chrissy. Now, Jim Cimbala has shied away from making that a big deal with his church family. It was a large church. It was a tough time. And he wondered if he should change the flow of the service to pray for his own daughter in the midst of this church-wide prayer time. But he decided to do it, and he had one of his other pastors begin to pray. He stepped back. He put his hand on the back of his pastor. All the people grabbed hands around the church, and they began to pray for Chrissy, his daughter, who had drifted away and was in deep darkness. He said what happened was amazing. In a few minutes, the best way he could describe it is the prayer time became a labor room. The people called upon God in a sense of labor, just as a woman's having a baby. And while there was great pain in that, the results are amazing. And he said the people just all prayed, and they basically called out to God, and the place just labored for the salvation of his daughter. He went home that night to his wife, Carol, and he said this to her. He said, "Carol, it's over." She says, "What do you mean?" He says, "It's over regarding Chrissy." And he told her what happened, that they had prayed, and they kind of had a breakthrough. Something happened in that prayer meeting that changed everything. And he said, "You know, the battle is over." 32 hours later, on a Thursday morning, Jim Cimbala was shaving, and his wife comes up, and he says, "Go downstairs." He said, "Chrissy's here." 32 hours later. He was shocked, and she said, "Just go down. She wants to see you." And so he wipes the shaving cream off his face and heads downstairs. His heart was pounding. And there was his daughter on the kitchen floor. She was rocking her hands. She was sobbing. And he spoke to her and she said, "Daddy, Daddy, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against you and Mommy. Please forgive me." And then she asked this question. "Who was praying for me Tuesday night?" And that was the night of their prayer meeting. And he says, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, that was when we were at church and we were praying. And she said this. She says, it was in the middle of the night, God woke me up and showed me I was heading toward an abyss. There was no bottom to it. And it scared me to death. She said, I was so frightened. I realized how hard I've been, how wrong I've been, and how rebellious I've been. But at the same time, it was like God wrapped his arms around me and held me tight. He kept me from sliding any farther as he said, I still love you. Tell me the truth. Who was praying for me Tuesday night? Praying for the salvation of others is a seed-sowing opportunity. And when you and I do that, we are planting seeds of tomorrow's harvest. A couple other examples of people who prayed. Here's a picture of Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children, and she rarely had any time to herself. Here's what she would do. She would get alone in a chair or someplace, and she would take her apron and put it up over her head and pray for her children. And it says that the kids knew it was mom's time. You did not bother her. They were all around her, but they wouldn't bother her. She had the apron up over her head. Now, John and Charles Wesley were two of her children. They become leaders of the Methodist movement, the revival and awakening that broke out in England. But let me tell you, her prayers, your prayers for your kids, are seed planting opportunities of power for God to grow and develop and make something new inside people. And here's one last picture. This is out in the display case. This is a picture of Loretta Babcock's grandparents, the Wolf family. And they were the previous generations of this church. And you know what they did? They prayed and sowed seeds into the future. And we're here today as a part of what they prayed into. I want you to know, when you pray for salvation of people or you pray for others, you're planting seeds. Do not neglect seed planting through prayer. You know why? Praying is the greatest seed planting opportunity of all five of the categories. It has the most potential because God is at work in the midst of it. So number one, when you think of praying, prayers for the salvation is at the top of the list. Number two, the second thing we can learn from this, or as we think about praying and planting seeds, is prayers to know him better. In other words, you and I can pray for not only ourselves, but for other people to know Christ better. Here's a prayer in Ephesians 1, 17 to 19 that Paul prayed for that church. Let's read it together. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. If you're praying for your kids, for your husband or wife, for other people, here's an awesome prayer that you can pray right out of the scripture. Put other people's names in there. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom so that you may know him better. Use the word of God to pray it back to God. And include or insert your husband's names, your kids' names, your friends, and just pray a blessing that they may know him better. What you're doing is you're planting seeds that though they are small, they have the potential to grow, to expand, and to change a life. Number three, the third thought about praying and sowing seeds in prayer is this. Pray prayers that their faith may not fail. That their faith may not fail. Read with me Luke 22, 31 and 32 in your notes. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked you to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus is speaking to Simon. It's before he betrays Jesus. And he says, listen, Simon, the enemy has desired to sift you as wheat. He wants to take you out. He wants to defeat you. Now, parents and grandparents, there's a huge insight here I want you to get a hold of. Jesus prayed for Simon, not that he wouldn't fail. You see, kids and grandkids, everybody's going to fail at some point. We're just human and we make mistakes. But listen, he prayed that his faith would not fail. If you want to pray over your kids, if you want to pray over grandkids, pray that their faith will not fail when they mess up, when they go astray, when they do something they shouldn't. Jesus knew that was going to happen with Peter. When you have turned back, I mean, he knew what was going to happen. But Peter, I'm praying, Simon, that your faith will catch you after you fail. Listen, that's an awesome request. Pray for their faith of your kids, your grandkids, and others, that it will not fail when they encounter a failure in life. So finally, number four. The fourth thing we can sow seeds into and pray for is this. Prayers for the favor of God. This is one of my favorites. Pray for the favor of God. Read with me Psalm 19, verse 17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You and I have the privilege of praying the favor of God over other people. What is that? The favor of God is this sense of the delightfulness of his presence, the pleasantness of who he is. It's the benefits or the advantages of God himself upon a life. I know there's I think of a person who's in an accident lately, and he and his friend came out okay, and the vehicle was totaled. And as I reflected on this incident, you know, the favor of God was upon them. And it was a result of prayers of, I think, of his family and friends over the years, just watching over the individuals. The favor of God is something you plant into people's lives through prayer. And when you do that, there will come a time where it'll be released. There will be a harvest. There'll be a reward. There will be this sense of blessing because your prayers went ahead of them and God answered them at a specific time. So when you think of praying, you want to make your life count? Sow the right kind of seeds. Salvation of others. Prayers that people get to know him better. Pray that over your kids, your husband, your wife. Hey, prayers for that their faith will not fail. And lastly, prayers that the favor of God himself will rest upon them. So the key thought this morning is this. I want you to think of prayer differently. You're sowing seeds. And I want to conclude with a verse out of Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. It's about Isaac, and here's what he says. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. You can reap a hundredfold. You can have a harvest field that is full because you are sowing the right kind of seeds today. And the more seeds you sow, you will reap in proportion to what you invest into praying itself. Isn't that exciting? God can do that, bless a family. He can bless an individual. He can bless a church. He can bless a community. He can bless a world when a group of people sow the right kind of seeds through prayer that God would just simply bless them and bless the world through them. Let's pray. Father, this morning we bow before you. And we thank you for the power of your word through prayer. And we thank you that when we plant seeds through prayer, they germinate. They begin to expand. They begin to grow. They begin to develop. They begin to grow to its fullest potential so that we can experience a great harvest tomorrow. Lord, I pray for every person here today that we will somehow, someway, get a new vision of the power of prayer and seed planting as an opportunity just to make a difference in our world, make a difference in our families, make a difference even in our individual lives. So, Lord, today, help us to make a decision that we will invest mightily in the time of prayer as we go to our prayer closets and spend time in your presence so that tomorrow we'll reap a harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.